Even the root of the word translated as covenant, which is berit, Hebrew Strong's number 1285, means to cut. This is because there is always blood involved in cutting a covenant. You cut a covenant by the shedding of blood. There are a few occasions when the Bible translators translate the verb give as made a covenant or make a covenant. But that is the exception rather than the rule. In part two of the study, we saw that when two parties cut a covenant, they mix their own blood. In a case like this, the two parties would then cut themselves, usually on their hands, and then press their wounds together so that their blood would intermingle. You can never separate the blood after it's been mixed. Thus, you cannot break a covenant and still live. Sometimes blood substitutes would be used, but the principle stays the same. When a covenant is made between two people, the verb is always cut, because blood had to flow. That's the Hebrew karat. The very first time that we see this word karat, meaning to cut a covenant, is when God cut covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15 verse 18. This is why we started our study by examining the Abrahamic covenant, because it is the very first covenant that God's word says was cut between himself and mankind. The purpose of today's lesson is to look at how God then took it a step further and established the covenant that he had cut with Abraham. A fact is established by two or three witnesses. Establish means to make it firm, to make it stand up, to strengthen it, and make it succeed. God had promised Abraham that he would establish his covenant with Abraham's offspring. Genesis 17 verse 7 says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you." To establish something as fact, you need three people. One would be the primary person involved, plus two witnesses, which would make three in total. So that would be Abraham, the primary person, and Isaac and Jacob as the two witnesses. Therefore, it is established as fact. This is why we have witnesses to marriages and to the signing of contracts today. Witnesses are also required in court cases. And this is something that we will look at later when we discuss the Ten Commandments in another lesson. Another example for your own reference of establishing something as fact is found in Genesis 41, where God gave Pharaoh a dream three times. And in verse 32 it says, "And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." So he gave it to him three times. One, and then it was repeated twice. That's three altogether. We see the same principle of two or more witnesses used by both Jesus and Paul. Matthew 18 verse 16 in the New King James says, "But if he will not hear you," this is Jesus talking, "take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Acts 1 verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." 2 Corinthians 13 verse 1 says, this is Paul now, "This will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established." And so in Genesis 28, verse 13 to 15, we see that God established his covenant with Jacob as well. So it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to read from verse 13 to 15. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.' Thus, God cut covenant with Abraham, and then established that same covenant with Isaac and Jacob. This is why he is called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His very name is testimony to the fact that the covenant was cut with Abraham and then established with Isaac and Jacob. Therefore, it cannot be changed or disputed in any way. It is established as fact forever and ever." Now, what about Noah? We saw earlier that the very first time God ever cut a covenant was with Abraham. However, it is not the first mention of covenant found in the Bible. The first time that the word berit, which means covenant, is found in the Bible is in Genesis 6 verse 18, where God promises to establish his covenant with Noah and creation. Genesis 6 verse 18 to 19. "But I will establish my covenant with you." Then look at verse 8. After the flood, where God fulfilled his promise to Noah. "Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons after him, saying, 'And as for me, behold, I will establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth, thus I establish my covenant with you.'